It's great to sing together, and that song actually fits so well with what the focus of our message is going to be today. Go tell it on the mountain. And often we think of that, you know, after Christmas, you know, we're supposed to take that message of Christmas out and go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. But today, what our focus is going to be, as part of this mystery, this wondrous mystery that we're looking at during this Advent season, the wondrous mystery of the Christmas story that Jesus came, what our focus is going to be this morning, as part of that mystery, is that God chooses to use people. He uses people to tell his story and to shine his light into the darkness of this world. And isn't that truly such a mystery? I mean, think about it. I want to look for a second at Luke chapter 1. If you have a Bible with you, turn to Luke chapter 1. Just in the first two chapters of Luke, we're going to be spending more time in John this morning, but before we get there, I want to look at just a few references in Luke chapter 1. But in the first two chapters in Luke alone, which only highlights the preparation of Jesus coming, the preparation of him being born, and then the account of his birth, think of all the people that God used to prepare for that. And then when he came, who he used in the process. And first of all, we see in here Zechariah and Elizabeth. And they were used of God, and they had no children. And get this, that Elizabeth, in her old age, the angel came and told Zechariah that Elizabeth, his wife, was going to bear a child in her old age. And that this child would have a special purpose. And this son would be John the Baptist. And John the Baptist would then go on. In verse 30 Luke chapter 1, it says, or sorry, not Luke, not verse 30. Where is that? That was when we were going to get to Mary. Sorry about that. Verse 16, there we go. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready the Lord for the Lord a people prepared. That God was going to use this child that was born to Zechariah and Elizabeth in their old age to prepare the way and to announce the coming of the Messiah, the one that had been promised, the Christ that was going to come to take away the sins of the world, this promised one that was going to come. Zechariah and Elizabeth, and then John the Baptist. And then we get to Mary and Joseph. And isn't this part of this crazy mystery, this wondrous mystery, that God would use a young couple, and before they even came together in marriage, that Mary, this young woman, was told, angel appeared to her. The angel said to her, verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Think about these words. This is incredible. Verse 32 tells about him. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Verse 34. Mary's just hearing this. She says to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" Meaning, I have not known a man. We know from Matthew that her and Joseph were betrothed. They were not married. They had not come together in marriage yet. Verse 35, "And the angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. What would you do if you're hearing this? You're starting to put these things together. God, we've been waiting for this Christ, the Messiah, to come and save the world for our sins. And this angel is talking to me like, this child, this Son of God, this promised one, is going to be inside of me? What? Will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. And there we see those two stories now connected, and how God is continuing to use his people to let his plan unfold and to tell his story. Verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. And here's an even crazier mystery that Mary, verse 38, after hearing all that, she said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Wow. After hearing that she's going to have in her womb the Son of God, the Savior of the world, for her to say, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to God's will. And then we get to the shepherds. Look to Luke chapter 2. After Jesus had been born, he had, verse 7, chapter 2, Mary had given birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And then we see these other characters of Christmas, these lowly shepherds that were out tending their flocks by night. No one paid attention to the shepherds. People didn't view them very highly. But who did God choose to tell the news to first? He chose the shepherds. Verse 8, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, for they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, just as had just happened. Verse 7. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to him, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they walked slowly on their way, just as if it was another day. No, they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And then they, get this, they got to tell the news of what they heard from the angel. They got to tell that to Mary and Joseph. Remember, the angel announced this to the shepherds. The shepherds heard it, were amazed, and they went with haste. And now all these pieces are coming together. God's using the shepherds. He's using Mary and Joseph. Mary gave birth, and the baby's there in the manger. And now they get to come. They get to come and tell Mary and Joseph what they just heard from the angels. God's using them as messengers. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Isn't it a mystery that God uses his people? He uses his children, his followers, to spread his message and to be part of his story and his plan unfolding. Now we're going to go back to John chapter 1. And this is where it all ties in now. John chapter 1, as we jumped into last week, it does tell the Christmas story. It tells about Jesus becoming flesh, the word Jesus, as it's describing in verse 14, we're going to get to in a couple weeks. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's really what it's building up to, this idea and this fact that Jesus, who was God, as we established last week, was with God and he was God and he is God, how he came down to this earth. We're looking at that mystery, and we read last week about who he was and all these incredible things, that he was in the beginning with God and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He came to shine his light into this dark world. So we're learning all this about Jesus, who is God and man at the same time, and coming down to this earth to reveal who God is. So everything we see in Jesus is God. But then there's a shift. We're hearing about this amazing God, this amazing word, Jesus. Then we come to verse 6, and this is where what we'll look at more closely today. John 1, 6 through 9. Let's read it together. It's up on the screen for you. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Let's pray. God, these are your words. Week after week, we come to hear your word, and we pray that you would teach us this morning. We pray you would give us ears to hear what you want to say to us and how you want to teach us and how you want to use us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So get this feeling here that here's this beautiful picture of this person, Jesus, who's God, creator of all things. And there was a man named John. What? Keep telling me about this God person. Why do you shift and start telling me about a man? But God chooses to use people to shine this light that's talked about in verses 4 and 5. We see that also in verse 9. The true light which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And this reference here of this man, God uses a man. He uses John the Baptist, son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, to prepare the way for Jesus' coming to be a witness to the light that Jesus shines into this world. And the reason this is such a mystery is because Jesus could have come. He could have come like a flash of lightning. He could have come any way he wanted. God of the universe could have just shown his light down like a flash of lightning, but God's plan was to use his people to spread the message of the good news. That Jesus was coming. That was John's mission. To announce Jesus' coming, to prepare the way, prepare hearts to know Jesus, to know who God is, and to experience life and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. But for us, God wants to use us as well. God wants to use us even in this Christmas season to reflect back and point people that he was coming. And now we look on the other side of it. We know that he came. We also know that he's coming again. Why does God do that? Why does God use his people? Why doesn't he just flash his lightning down? God is a relational God. Did you notice in John 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It's a mystery for us to understand. But God has always been, forever, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, together in fellowship, working together in relationship. And God wants everyone to be in relationship with him. And God chooses to work in the context of relationship. And today we're going to take seriously our calling as believers to shine the light of Christ into this dark world with the message of Jesus Christ. And there's two parts of this that we're going to look at today. First, we're going to look at some reasons why we need to shine the light of Christ from the text in John 1. But then I want to look a little bit more practically as well, because it can be kind of hard for us in this picture of light and darkness. It can be hard to, how do we apply this? What does that look like for us? How do we work this out practically? And so first, I want to quickly go through five reasons why we need to shine the light of Christ. Why do we need to shine the light of Christ? First is that we live in a dark world. Backing up to verse 5, the light shines in the darkness. The light shines in the darkness is talking about the world. And it's talking about the world back at the time of Jesus, but it's also talking about the world in the time of today. And really, this kind of goes without saying that we live in a dark world. I mean, look around the world. Look around our nation. All you have to do is turn on the news or just take a look around you. The loneliness that people experience, the depression, violence, the spread of disease. I mean, every year we're seeing more and more, hearing about more and more mass shootings all over the world. From the view of our world, we know. It kind of goes without saying that we live in a dark world. But you know what else is also true? And especially in our culture, in America here, is that we are really good at hiding the darkness. We're really good at it, and especially at Christmas time. You go through, walk through your neighborhood. A couple weeks ago, we were on a walk to our park, and as we're walking along the street, there's this man who had literally rented a huge lift, not just one of those little scissor lifts, like it was like a substantial lift that he had like pulled behind a truck. And he was up in his tree, lifted up in his tree. And he was not trimming branches. He was decorating this tree with lights. And we went a little further, and there was a man who was up on his roof, literally wrapping Christmas lights around his chimney, all around his chimney. And then we come to see, too, that he had covered his entire roof with lights. And we go all out, don't we? We go all out with our Christmas decorating. But as you, I want you to challenge you to think about it. As you walk through your neighborhood, as you see the lights, as you see the Christmas tree in the window, there is a story behind all those lights. There's a story behind every Christmas tree that's shining nice and bright in that window. A story under every roof, even in our own neighborhoods. And that story for some might be a single dad who's estranged from his kids. It might be for some a recent cancer diagnosis, a terminal illness. For some, it might be the stress of family strain, horrible family dynamics that are causing deep distress. For some, it could be a son or daughter who's battling an addiction. As you walk through your neighborhood, ask God to give you eyes. Ask God to give you a heart to know what's behind the lights. I'm not saying that the lights are just to cover up that. But that's just the reality that we face. We live in a dark world. Second reason is so that all will believe. Notice the reason why God sent John the Baptist. Verse 7 says, he came as a witness to bear witness about the light. Why? That all might believe through him. Remember last week we looked at John the disciple. John who wrote the book is not John the Baptist. John who wrote the book is John the disciple of Jesus, refers to himself in John as the disciple whom Jesus loved. What was his purpose for writing? What was his passion behind writing this? John 20, 30, and 31, we looked at it last week. Jesus did many other things in the presence of his disciples. But these, what John has recorded, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That was why he wrote this book. And that's why John the Baptist came, why God used him so that all might believe through him. Not everybody. You didn't come to believe necessarily because of John the Baptist. God used John the Baptist in the story, but the people that John the Baptist came in contact with, that all would believe through him. And this word believe is a really big deal to John the writer, John the disciple. In the book of John alone, he uses the word believe 100 times. And many times, as he writes about believing or belief, it's connected with life. Belief in Christ results in life. It's the only way to eternal life is through believing. How do we know that? It's as simple as John 3:16. Speaks exactly to it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever, what? Believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And that's the goal for every one of us, for every witness for Jesus, for today, for us today. That's the purpose of evangelism. That's the purpose of outreach. That's the purpose of mission work, to be agents of the light that Jesus has shined into the darkness so that all will believe. Third, he has made us reflectors. It's very clear that John the Baptist, he was a witness to the light. So clear and so important that it really actually sounds a little redundant in these verses, verses 7 and 8. Do you hear the repetition in this? He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Okay, I get it. He's a witness. It's very clear and it's very intentional. Why? Because he was not the light. He was only a witness to the light. Verse 9, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Jesus is the true light that shines, and we are only reflectors. How many of you remember the little reflectors on a kid's bike? You probably had them. I mean, they're on adult bikes and everything, on the pedals and on the front and on the back. And I remember seeing those and thinking, what are those things? Because usually, as a kid, you're riding the bike during the daytime. And so you don't ever see that reflector in action. But the only way for that reflector to do anything is if the light is shining on it. And those of us who know Jesus Christ, who have experienced the light that he shines into our dark hearts, our sinful hearts, and into our sinful, dark world, we then become reflectors, reflectors of the true light. Number four, fourth reason why we need to shine the light is because the light is for everyone. Verse 9, the true light which enlightens everyone. We know God's heart, God's desire as I mentioned before, he wants to be in relationship with every person, every human being that has ever been created. He longs to be with each one of us. He longs for us to become his children. We see this in 1 Timothy 2:4. This is God's desire. It says, God's desire is for all men, all people, to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And then think about the angels. What did the angels say to the shepherds when they proclaimed to them that Jesus was born? I bring you good news of great joy, which is for just the shepherds? No. For all people. God wants everyone to believe. God wants to be in relationship with each one of us. Everyone to experience life and forgiveness and the hope of eternal life. And what's that song that we sing? You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. God doesn't want to be alone. God longs to be with his children, with his people. The other day I was at Starbucks, and there was a lady that was there who had just ordered her drink, and she was standing over at the end of the bar and waiting for her drink, and she was shuffling around some things in her purse and in her wallet and pockets and organizing some things. And as she did so, I just happened to notice, kind of out of the corner of my eye, I saw something drop. And it was a couple of dollar bills, not dollar bills, but I think it was like a 5 and a 10. I could just see from a distance that had fallen down to the ground. And my first thought was like, oh, she needs to know that that money is on the ground, that her, that she dropped her money. She clearly didn't notice it. Before I could even do anything, I was about to jump up and go let her know. There was another man on the kind of on the other side of the store who was on his phone and had happened to notice it out of the corner of his eye, and he immediately jumped out of his seat, and then he's on his phone, and he comes over and gets her attention and points down to the money that's on the ground. She said, oh, and she looks down and picks it up and says, thank you. And there was another man behind her that was jumping up to do the same thing. Isn't it interesting that when a $5 bill or a $10 bill drops to the ground, our natural response is to just come along and say, oh, money, pick it up. Or if you see someone drop it, let them know. Why is that? It's because we recognize the value. And maybe if it's not a lot of money, maybe it's not a huge deal, but who wouldn't want to either pick up that money or give it back to the person? It's the same with the true light, the true light of Jesus. It's for everyone. And for those of us who know the light and know what that light is worth and what it's done for us and the life that it gives, why wouldn't we want every person in the world, every person, to experience that light as well? The light is for everyone. And fifth, and one of the most important reasons, is because he's still coming. He was coming, but he's still coming. We know that Jesus came. We're able to look back on the historical facts and have the rest of the New Testament for us to hold and to read and to know this Jesus. We look back and we know he came. He died on the cross to forgive us of our sins, and all who believe in him will be saved. And we know that each one of us will either die here on this earth, our time is coming, or that Jesus will return. And all who believe in him will meet him in the air, as the scripture says, and will go to be with him forever in eternity. And all who don't believe, all who don't believe will be condemned. Condemned to eternal separation from God in hell. And John the Baptist's job, what was his job? Was to prepare the way for Jesus. That he is coming. He's coming to save us. Repent and turn to God. Repent of your sins and turn to Him. But our job is the same. Is to proclaim that He is coming. He's coming back for all to know and for all to be saved, for all to believe. So, good, great. We've got all these five reasons. Why is shining the light of Christ, why are we called to do that? Why is that so important? That's why it's important. But how? How do we do it? And of course, there are countless ways that we can reflect the light of Christ. But what are some practical ways that we can do this right now? And especially I want us to think in light of the Christmas season. Got a couple weeks yet leading up to Christmas. How can we reflect the light of Christ? Three practical ways that I want to share with you. And the first is to remove the barriers. If we are reflectors of the light of Jesus, then we need to remove any barriers that are getting in the way of Jesus shining His light upon us and us then reflecting that light unto others. What does this mean? What might this look like practically? It means clearing the clutter. The Christmas season, as we know from that song, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And that's true for a lot of people. And while that can be true, the opposite can be true. And it can be the most stressful time of year. It can be the busiest time of year. Obligations that need to be fulfilled. Just the busyness of the season. Getting ready for people to come. Whatever it might be. So my encouragement is to remove what's not important and to focus on what's most important. How do we do that? Well, so what if you don't get those outside Christmas lights up? So what if you don't wrap your chimney in Christmas lights? Or cover your roof, or just don't get those outside lights up. It's okay. So what if you don't make it to the Old Town Christmas tree lighting where there is a pile of snow that they trucked in for kids to go sledding on? We went last year. It was fun. Our kids don't even know that we didn't go this year. And it was partly because one of them was sick, but we've learned to underpromise. And one of them was sick, and so we didn't even say a word about it. But so what if you don't make it to everything? So what if you don't send out mass amounts of Christmas cards this year? Now, I'm all about Christmas cards. They're great. But if it becomes a chore, if it becomes stressful, don't worry about it. Maybe instead of sending out a mass amount of Christmas cards, maybe you just narrow it down, narrow the focus, maybe to 10 personal handwritten notes of encouragement to people that you know are maybe facing tough times during this Christmas season. Maybe saying no to a couple other things so you can shine the light in that way. What pressures or what activities or, dare I say, obligations might be getting in the way of Christ's light shining upon you to ponder this mystery and take in the wonder of Christmas? What's getting in the way of that as you reflect that light onto others? Second way is to prioritize presence more than presents. Did you catch the difference there? Prioritizing presence, being with people, being present to people more than presents, more than things. Yes, kids always want presents. They're always going to want presents. They're always going to want more presents. But what they really want, you're a parent or a grandparent, what they really want more, even though they might not know it, is being together, having their parents' or their grandparents' attention. And so maybe instead of working overtime or working extra hours to buy everything on a list, maybe you make use of the thrift store, Goodwill, Facebook Marketplace, get things used or a little cheaper. And instead of those extra hours, maybe you use that time to create memories together, to walk in the evening through the neighborhood and look at the people who did get their Christmas lights up. Stay home. Say no to an activity. Stay home and play games together. Or maybe this one. Maybe being present to your neighbors. You can all think of the people or the neighbor that you've been meaning to invite over for dinner for a long time. Well, maybe even simplify it a little more to practice this presence. Maybe instead of cooking an elaborate dinner, maybe it's as simple as just calling them up and saying, hey, tomorrow night, would you guys just want to come over for some popcorn? We're just going to pop some popcorn and have some hot chocolate, and we're going to light a fire in the fireplace and just visit a little bit. Shine the light in that way, by being a presence. Sometimes shining the light of Jesus is just being present to people, looking them in the eye, finding out how they're doing, how their life is going. We better speed this along before we all get wet. Finally, tell the full story of Christmas. Tell the full story of Christmas. One of the things that drives me nuts in our culture is when we reduce the Christmas story to Jesus' birthday. Maybe you ask some kids, what is Christmas all about? Oh, it's Jesus' birthday. And there's that song, which I love on the radio, you know, Happy Birthday, Jesus, I'm so glad it's Christmas. But sometimes even in our churches, we have reduced the story of Christmas to Happy Birthday, Jesus. But here's the thing, everyone has a birthday. Everyone has a birthday that we celebrate. And yes, Jesus was born. He was born as a baby. But the story of Christmas is what he was born to do. And what he did do by living a perfect life, what we could not do. And taking upon himself our sins by dying on the cross. And this doesn't mean that you have to go next door and knock on your neighbor's door and say, hey, do you got 15 minutes? I want to sit down and tell you the full story, tell you really what Christmas is all about. No, you could do that. But it doesn't mean you have to just go and talk to people immediately in that way. But it can be as simple as even in your own home, telling the full story of Christmas. Maybe it's not just a Christmas countdown, but it's maybe once a day. You know, maybe it's having your own Advent wreath, lighting the candle, reading some scripture together. There's plenty of devotionals out there, daily devotionals that tell the full story. Tell about that he was coming and that he came and that he's still coming. The full picture of that story. Can be as simple as inviting someone to Christmas at the barn, where they're going to hear the message of Christmas. Not just coming together in a cool old barn, but to hear the message, to hear the full story of Christmas. And here's the full story of Christmas as we close this morning. This isn't really a Christmas text, but in Philippians 2, we do get the full picture of Christmas, of what Jesus came to do. Philippians 2, 5 5-11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, a thing to be held onto, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It doesn't stop there. Verse 9, therefore God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This, our risen Lord is there, the right hand of God. And one day, every tongue will confess, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And are they going to confess the Lord as Savior, the one who they've come to know, through the light shining into the darkness? Or will they confess him as, yep, but I didn't know you. I didn't believe, but now I believe, and it's too late. We can do something about that. We can reflect the light. Remember, reflecting the light of Jesus means that in order to reflect the light, that light needs to shine upon us. And that's what this Christmas season is about, is letting that light shine in us continually, and light, that light shining into our dark world. So if you allowed the light of Jesus to shine into your darkness, and his light still shines, even in dark situations, if you're facing dark situations, his light is still shining, and the darkness will not overcome the light. And we have the opportunity to reflect that light to a dark world. Last verses I want to leave you with, continuing in Philippians 2:14-15. It says, do all things without grumbling or questioning. But verse 15, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Does that sound familiar? Among whom, here it is, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Let's pray. God, we pray that you would help us to go forth and to shine, to reflect the light that you have shined upon us. We pray that you would give us sensitivity to the needs around us, to the world around us. Give us eyes to see the darkness. And we thank you for the light that you have given us that we can take to those around us that are still in darkness, and empower us, equip us as your children to tell your story. In Jesus' name, amen.